Welcome. You are listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, and this is Rabbi Elliot Cosgrove. While it's always better to hear it live, this is a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. Enjoy our latest installment.
Shabbat Shalom. This Shabbos, as I said earlier, it's Shabbat Nachamu. It is the Shabbat of comfort. And I'm not sure I can think of a Shabbat in memory in which I or the world needed comfort more than this weekend. With everything that is going on in our world, it's nice to hear that comfort is coming from our tradition in this moment. And then I read the Haftorah. It was read beautifully. Rita, it was read beautifully. But this Haftorah, which is meant to bring us comfort, and as we begin, it says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, comfort, oh comfort my people, says God. And that's nice. That's a nice start. And then speak tenderly to Jerusalem and declare to her that her term of service is over. Her iniquity is expiated, for she has received all at the hand of the Lord, double for all her sins. Okay. I mean, did you have to mention all the double sin and punishment stuff? And that's basically as comforting as the Haftorah gets. It goes on to tell us that all flesh is grass, that everything withers, and that we are like dust before our creator. I feel comforted already. And the Torah reading for this Shabbat of comfort does not seem much better. We learn that Moses has lost his appeal to God to be let into the land. Despite being, you know, Moses, his tshuva is not good, and so he can't enter the land. We get a lot of laws. Then we're told to follow the laws or else. Then we're told, but you're actually going to stray no matter what, and God is going to punish you a lot. And then we get more laws, and we're told that God will reward piety unto the thousandth generation, but totally obliterate those who don't listen. I think maybe the tradition and I have a different definition of comfort. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to take away from this, but there's two lines that I do find great comfort in. It takes just a second to explain, though. So as part of his foretelling the Israelites what's going to happen, Moses says that there will come a time in the future when all of Israel strays and worships foreign idols and turns away from God, and they'll be scattered amongst all the nations. Then Moses says something maybe a little surprising. Moses says, but if you search there for the Lord, your God, there, I assume, meaning wherever the people have been scattered to, though the commentaries differ on that. Moses says, you will find God. If only you seek God with all your heart and all your soul. The next verse, when you are in distress because of these things that have befallen you, in the end, return to the Lord your God and obey him. Okay, so this is a little bit odd in the middle of a pep talk where Moses is saying, okay, we can go. Let's take the land back. Imagine this sort of rallying cry. All right, let's go conquer the land so that we can lose it again, but then get it back later. Leaves a little something to be desired as well. Now, one of our commentaries, Orach Chaim, Chaim Ibn Attar, an 18th century Moroccan rabbi, writes that these two verses hold within them the essence of tshuva, of repentance, and that there's two kinds of tshuva that are being talked about here. And there's two kinds of people who do tshuva, who repent their sins. So the first verse, the one about seeking God, Orach Chaim says, this is about the people who of their own volition and desire to love God, seek out the Lord and do tshuva just because on their own. And the second verse that we read, the one that's about, you know, in your distress, you can always come back to God. Well, that's about people who get a little punishment. They have to suffer some of the consequences of their actions before they're ready to do tshuva. But after sort of feeling the negative consequences of whatever they've done, they repent. That's what this is about. So I guess there's some sort of comfort, perhaps, from this second idea of those who suffer consequences of their actions and thus do tshuva. Maybe there's a kind of comfort in being held accountable. When my three-year-old is acting out and I have to uphold the boundaries, this is just a random example, but whenever I set a rule and I hold it, I can actually see his body relax when I hold the line. He feels comforted from the fact that there are boundaries and that he is accountable to them. We yearn in many ways to live in a world of laws where the good prosper and the violators are punished. For a fuller treatment, you could read Dostoevsky or Poe's Telltale Heart. But our parsha this morning repeats more than once that we need to observe the law so that it go well with you in our land. There is a connection to observing law, to having the law upheld, with all of us being able to live prosperous, good lives. Our institutions, those legal things that we have, the goods and the norms, they in some ways give us a rubric of values and ethics if done properly in our Torah. Now, but what of this other kind of tshuva? The tshuva that says where you see God and God's salvation without being caught, without paying any prices, just because you want to be better. You want to return to the light and love of the Lord. These are the ones the Torah tells us, see God with all our hearts and our souls. So this kind of tshuva is interesting to me. And it seems like we would want to say, this is the good one, right? It's much better to do tshuva when you, just because you want to be a better person. And I might agree with that, though to some extent it seems a little bit difficult. And there's something interesting in the way that the verse is worded here on how we go about it or what kind of tshuva is being asked of us. Because this searching is done, and I'm going to read it for you in Hebrew, and you tell me if you hear something missing. The searching is done, ki tidrashenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. I bet half of you finished the line, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol miodecha. That's the way that the Shema goes, by the way, which will be said in two chapters from now within this parsha. So Moshe knew it was coming when he said this. So b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha, with all of your heart and all of your soul and not all of your might, which the rabbis often interpret that third one as being either about property with your money or your physicality of some kind. So perhaps this kind of tshuva that Moshe is advocating for is a tshuva not about making amends for what you've done, not about paying fines or compensating or whatever the sort of actual real world remedy is. This tshuva is done b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with all your heart and your soul. It's about doing that hard personal work to try to make yourself better. That is this second piece of tshuva that is so important. And what I love again about the imagery here is that the image is that of seeking, which we'll talk about in a second, because we live in a world where we can all see the consequences of our actions. As people, I am sure we have things that we know we're living through, some of the consequences of something we've done. And as a society, 100%, we are living through a time where we are feeling the repercussions of transgressions past. We know we have to make amends for that, and that is important. But I'm guessing there are also parts of our lives that we know in our heart of hearts, because we love truth and justice and good and the Lord, we know where we want to be. And what the Torah asks of us here is to seek that out, to take the time before the repercussions hit and try to do good, try to preemptively make ourselves better. And that's something that is hugely important. As we enter into this run up to the high holidays, the seven haftarot of consolation, we begin by saying, you know, part of this comfort comes from the seeking to be better, taking a moment and trying to really make ourselves, our hearts and our souls better, because we can. We have that growth mindset that we know our sins are not innate. We can always be better people, and there is comfort in that. The comfort is not in you will never err, or whenever you make a mistake, it'll be fine, don't worry about it. The comfort is no matter what we do, we can always seek to be better people. And that seeking is so important. In fact, Chancellor Eisen, in one of his sort of remarkable works, Rethinking Modern Judaism, predicts and says that for American Jews, the search for religiosity will become the dominant metaphor. Seeking to be better will be the thing that we all cling to because it fits. It fits for who we are. We know we're not where we want to be. We know there's some person out there, some idealized version of me that I wish that I was, an idealized version of our society I wish we could live in. And trying to get there is the thing that's important. The trying, the seeking, that is what God asks of us this morning. That's what God asks of us for tshuva. And the fact that we all can do it, we know we can get there. We can work to be better. That is something in which we can take comfort. That can be our operational way of being in the world. I'm not there yet, but I know that I have the ability to get there. And I will do everything that I can to seek out the Lord, to seek out that better world, and to try to make it a reality. Good luck, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to Park Avenue Podcasts, a place to be to catch the music, sermons, and select programs of Park Avenue Synagogue. If you like what you are hearing or want to learn more about the community, please check out our website at www.pasyn.org. See you in shul.